Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we are discussing psychic quicksand, and we're going to be getting into that more later and taking calls for on-air readings. We've got some callers in the queue, so we're going to get straight to the readings and then get into our discussion a bit later in the show. So we do invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio. If you aren't connected with us, please do connect, because that's how you can find out what our schedule is for the show. So if you have questions about that, you can always refer to our Facebook page or to our Blog Talk Radio profile. If you're following, you'll see the show schedule very easily. Number to call for the radio show today, 914-338-0164. And the number to call after the show, 562-596-7818. So let's bring on our first caller, and I believe this is Tanika.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. And are you born on 9378?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, Tanika, what's your question?
I wanted to know what you guys saw for me with love lives coming up and anything in general. And I wanted to hear what you guys see for me with someone named Nick, our connection, if you see me hearing from him again or what you guys see between us.
Okay.
And
so
his birthday.
Can you repeat that? We'll get his birthday in a minute, but could you repeat all that again? Because I was looking at your birth date and adding things up, because I had a different one. She's a 3710-1, right?
Yeah.
I
need to speak closer to me.
Yeah, we can't hear you that well. So if you could speak louder or, like Neil said, closer to the phone, it will help. Funny. Why did I have that wrong? Oh, no. I think it was someone else's. Okay. I was looking at the notes and I had added it, the number that I had next to yours was not correct, but I think it was coming from somewhere else, because then I saw it. So you're a 3710-1, and your question is about Nick. You want to know about your future with Nick and what else?
Just my love life in general and what you saw with my connection with Nick, if you saw us hearing from him again or anything.
Tanika, we can't, now it's getting, sorry. I hate to spend so much time on sound, but we have to hear you and we cannot.
You have to really speak
okay.
up.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Not really. Are you on a headset?
No, I have the phone right in my mouth.
Wow, it's like
it's really,
really, really compromised.
I don't know what the sound factor is, but talk a little bit louder. Just raise your voice, even if it's uncomfortable.
Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to hear about my love life and what you guys saw as far as the connection between me and someone named Nick. And if you saw me hearing from him again anytime. So.
Okay. What's Nick's birthday? Did you hear that? Go ahead.
6/11/83.
Oh, okay. Well, gosh, your years align. Your 7 to his 8 becomes your year 78. Your 8 to his 3 becomes his year 83. So I'm just right off. I saw that. 9/11/12. And your card, this, so on. She's a 12-3 on the karmic side. He's 6/11, 6/7, 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the 8-3 on the karmic side becomes his year.
Yeah.
So there's a definite connection between the two of you. But have you not heard from him for a while?
Yeah, I haven't heard from him for a while, but I still think of him.
And what's the nature of the relationship? Did you have a romantic relationship?
Yes.
And were you a committed couple? Or?
Yes, we were.
And then what happened?
We broke up. I'm not really sure why.
When were you guys together? Do you have a time period we could jot down?
Yeah, we were together. We started October 2013, and we ended around August 2014.
August 2014, and has it been, how long has it been since you've heard from him?
It's been around since then. I haven't heard from him. The last I saw is that he looked me up online in 2015, but other than that, I haven't heard from him. I still think of him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Tanika, the energy of the, I mean, everybody has these, has this going for them, but he's a real sexual guy. I mean, what that means is he's got a really strong physicality. And I think that with a person like this, sometimes what they get into in a mess is that they'll be with a person. It's really cool. Everything's going great. The sex has to be good and all that. And then they kind of get tired. I guess the side of these kind of people, they get to feeling like they're getting frustrated, bored. It's not, they start looking elsewhere. They just start to separate. That total commitment through thick and thin just doesn't seem to exist. Now, in your position, Tanika, you might have thought, hey, this guy could be my whole soulmate. Now, there is a soulmate history between the two of you. So you were probably thinking, hey, I could be with this guy for the rest of my life. If this works, you know, I don't mind. I could go through anything with him. And what he's thinking is, I feel suffocated. I can't stay in a relationship. I have to move on. You know, he has a certain threshold that doesn't go as long as yours. So then what he does is he starts to think about you because he still has that soul connection. So he looks you up online and he's going through all that. But then he starts thinking in his mind, I may be wrong, but then he starts thinking in his mind, well, if I open the door, it's just going to mean that we have to, oh, we'll get back together again. And then I'll have to go through all that responsibility. So he's driven by a desire to see you, but he's hampered by the idea of commitment. So he probably he doesn't want to hurt you. I'll say this for him. He probably doesn't want to hurt you by rejoining with you and then feeling like, oh, my God, I'm going to end up hurting her just because, you know, I'm attracted to her again, and that's going to not last long. So I think he's probably a nice guy. I mean, was he a nice guy during the relationship? Was he generous? Was he kind?
Yeah,
or was
we were in love. I mean, we told each other we loved each other, that we wanted to start a family. He told me these things first, that we wanted to start a family, that we wanted to have children, get married, all that. He said that first, and he was a great guy. His date of birth even adds up to 11/11, and I would see that a lot right before I met him on the clocks, and which is weird. But he was really nice, and it was like a love I never felt before. Towards the end, of course, stuff were not so nice. I don't really know what happened, but, you know, like you're explaining it, but it just always feels like it's not over. Like, that's why I ask about him, because I just always feel like I'm going to hear from him again.
She's coming up on a change in September. It's going to be her fourth cycle of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, whether he's going to show up or not is not really clear, but
yeah,
there should be something happening at that point.
Well, because there's a soul connection between the two of you, there is going to be that feeling like it's not over, because you have your connection with them goes beyond the body, the flesh. There's a soul connection, so it's always going to feel like you're not done, because that soul connection's there. The problem is that, and I depicted him as being a kind guy and cool and all that, everything there, but he fights himself, because as much as he wants to be committed and have a family, and there's something in his nature that's darker that drives him away from that, because he's also afraid of commitment, because he's not married now. It's been
Is
he single? Do you know if he's single now?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking Neil. I'm listening to everything Neil says.
No,
is there any way to find out?
No.
First.
Well, it doesn't have a Facebook or anything. Well, you know, maybe not. I'm assuming he's not married, but and you have a soul connection with him. But, you know, what initially was the point at which he broke away? What did he initially do to break away?
He started to, like, disappear and then come back after, like, a week or, like, after, like, 2 weeks. That's how he started to do, like, break off in communication, then come back, then disappear and break off in communication, then come back and disappear.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of pattern.
That's right. He's afraid of commitment, and he starts to look elsewhere, and he starts to, you know, he's a short distance runner that wants to be a long distance runner. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a desire for it, but his nature, his breathing pattern can't sustain a long-term relationship. He's having trouble with it. So
you, know,
you
can't hear you.
I thought because so many years had passed, maybe he was different now.
Oh, you mean he's made you think maybe because time has passed, he's changed just because he's gotten more mature or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, he's got some kind of deep-seated, I think, problems in his makeup, unfortunately. I mean, yes, it's possible for people to evolve, for sure. So, I mean, it would take some investigation on your part to find out. Are you opposed to contacting him?
Yeah, I'm not really comfortable with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, I mean, I don't know if you're going to get your wish waiting for him to get in touch with you, because it doesn't seem like that's in his DNA to...
Listen, it's been, what we're saying, Tanika, is that there is a soul connection. We're not questioning the fact that you're thinking about him and you feel a connection to him. We're not questioning that. There is a connection. And it's a strong connection. We're not saying that either.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
But it's not a guaranteed fulfillment. And it's been 4 years. And if he's not going to step up to the plate, he knows how to contact you. I think your questions about him are going to be thrown to the wayside, because you have to now take care of Tanika. You have to take care of yourself. If he's going to come back on board, he comes back on board. But if your questions are like, is he going to come back? Should I wait? We don't suggest it. Because the nature, the primitive nature of the man, the karmic nature of the man is too intense to depend upon. It's got a energy in there you can't rely. It's like having a car that you don't know if it's going to work or not every day. And you drive it 20 miles and it stops. And then you go, well, should I keep this car? And we're saying it's always going to be a problem. This car's a problem. Turn the car and get a new car.
So in terms of her, in terms of her relationship aside from this guy, she's asking about her love life. Definitely I think there's a relationship in her future. But also I think if you're holding on to somebody and you're not willing to go forward and explore that or contact him, that might be... You know, letting go might help to open up the possibilities for you.
I agree. You have to clean your mind, and you have to. I think your mind is filled a lot with concern, desperation, worry, and probably the way.
Indecision.
Yeah, and probably the way the world is going for you, it sounds like, well, what else is new? Of course I think that way. That's the way the world is going. What you need to do is get a different mindset, probably, and then activate it with action. You know, start to open up your life for somebody. You're not going to be alone. Your master number is one. That's a little bit problematic, but you're not going to be alone. You have a very strong energy field in your 7-8 year.
Yeah.
And our guess is you're not going to be alone. I would think you're 39 now. You see, that's your second and first numbers, 3-9. That equates to your age.
Right.
So here's what we here's what we would say to you. We would say that in your during the age of 39, if you set your goals strong and activate them with full force towards what you want, excluding Nick, you can get it before you turn 40. You can start to see things turn around for you. You're at a very strong karmic energy right now, Tanika, and this is the time for you at the age of 39. Don't forget that's your first two numbers inverted. This is time for you to take that leap. And then if you do, by September, you could have a nice job and you could have a man in your life that is you can count on. You can have that before September. But the prediction's based upon action. I think the universe is saying, well, it's not going to fall on your lap. You need to have action in this lifetime.
Right, I hear what you're saying.
Okay, does that help, Tanika?
Yeah, it helps. I've dated, and I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm doing things to work on myself now, and I'm taking them into action. I just didn't know if I would ever, hear from him again. That's why I asked that.
I think, like we were saying, that, you know, you might, maybe you will, maybe you won't. But, I mean, it's been a long time, so it's looking like the scales are shifting in the direction of no, that he may not get in touch. And he's got, like we said, some issues that he needs to work out on, on an individual level before he gets into a relationship where he's a partner to someone and really, really participating fully. The other thing I wanted to say is that, you know, not everyone has to let go of something before something can come in. But I think in her case, this is, I mean, it's not just, you know, pop psychology, but this is specific to you, Tanika. And that's probably why, you know, you're saying I've dated, but that's why the not letting go is why something hasn't come in.
Tanika, if your mind is still having trouble and you're saying, is he going to come back in my life? We're saying that the phone call to him, to you, may or may not happen because he's really not that dependable. The only thing you can do is cut through your inhibitions to call him or contact him and do so and say, hey, Nick, it's Tanika. I've been thinking about you. What's going on? What's going on with your life? And if he goes, well, I'm married, blah, 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 you got your answer. If he says, well, not much, da, da, da. And if you said, you've been on my mind. And I was wondering if there's any way we can restart our relationship. And if he says no, then you say no. If he says yes, then you say, okay, then let's start. But I don't know what you have a psychological block against doing that. Maybe you've got good reasons. But what we're saying is maybe you should cut through those reasons and give them and try to reach them. Why not? What do you have to lose?
The reason why is because when we broke up, he, broke my heart pretty badly, the way we broke up. He kind of threw me out of his life the way that we broke up. I know that he was, just behaving that way to try to get me to just not want to ever be back with him again. We had a big fight, and it really traumatized me. So that's why I just feel funny going back to try to
get him. Well, I got it. Then that's your answer. What real briefly, really briefly, 30 seconds. What'd you get in a fight about?
Because he was disappearing again, I went to ask him, to just talk to me, to just confront him and ask him what is going on, what's going on. And he was just saying every mean thing in the book because he just wanted to be alone.
Were you two living together or not?
We were for that whole year. We were basically living together.
You know what?
You
got your answer the first time. I don't think I would. If a dog bites you the first time, I don't know if I put my hand back in his mouth. I think he made it very clear. And you're saying, and we're telling you how to be assertive and call him, and you're saying, I don't know if I want to. He broke my heart. It was really devastating. Why would I want to do that? It's not right. Then follow your own advice. Then let go. Let go of him. He's not the only Nick in town. Listen, you're making your life count like just because he's, you have a soul connection, you're thinking, well, it's got to be Nick. If it's got to be Nick, then he'll come around. And no matter what you're doing, he'll come around. And if it's not got to be Nick, in spite of the fact that there's a soul connection, you still need to have a life.
Well, because we need to also differentiate between what a soul connection is versus maybe a more essentially a soul connection you have with many different people. So it's not limiting like a twin soul, for instance. So a relationship that you have with an individual that you encountered on the soul plane is a soul connection, a soulmate. So there are other soulmates out there for you. There's not just one. So I think people get limited in their thinking of, you know, well, I have to be with this person because it's the only one out there. And that's definitely not the case with this person.
No, okay. That's not our read, Tanika. Our read is that Nick is not the only guy, that this is destiny. You're going to be with him. Nobody else. We're not getting that read. And with the problems you've got already, you just need to move on. And you need to let go. I mean, that's going to be the easiest thing for you to do. Sounds like you're making one last ditch effort to see if he's going to come back before you make that final plunge into somebody else. I hear you're dating and you're not finding anybody, but give that some time.
Okay,
Tanika, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Tanika can follow us. You're welcome. She can follow us on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio. We hope that she does. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker. Please join us on both.
If everybody that does a reading
if you,
on the
if you
on
do
the
a reading,
air,
follow us.
follow us. That helps us out, encourages us to keep the work going. And
and it helps to spread the word to other people that we have a show. So,
right.
which is important because we're providing a valuable service, I would think, to those that are listening. And you have a goofy look on your face. I can tell you're about to make a joke.
Well, I was going to say something about True Value, but I couldn't.
True Value hardware.
True Value psychic wear.
okay. So Neil, we're talking about psychic quicksand, and there's
what a metaphor, huh? Psychic quicksand. I mean,
excuse my cough,
what is quicksand? Quicksand is you think you can walk on it, but until you and
but
you
quickly
do,
find out that you can't.
Yeah, and you start to sink. And quicksand can be pretty devastating, especially in the desert. Oh my God! Then you have you ever seen that movie Lawrence of Arabia and the quicksand that engulfs one of Lawrence's camel boys or whatever you want to call them. It was a devastating scene, horrible, but very realistic for the way that desert quicksand works. There's swamp quicksand. I once saw a Tarzan movie where a guy fell into a jungle quicksand and they couldn't get him out. And the last thing you see is his hand just sticking up out of the quicksand. I mean, scary stuff. Quicksand. What is psychic quicksand? Can you get sucked into the mentality of being psychic? I guess you can. I mean, some people get sucked into it because they go all out. It's like an Albert Brooks film where you become, you get into the psychic stuff. And you go and get all these candles, and you're getting sage
and crystals.
You're getting books, and you're getting different colors to wear for your clothing according to your chakras.
Essential oils.
And you got oils and
you're doing spells and rituals
spells,
and so on and so forth.
Gods and goddesses are all around you.
You're channeling angels. The archangels are right by your side.
Psychic
quicksand.
It can.
Well, because, you know, I mean, if we're talking about quicksand, you know, as applied to a religion, for instance, people that get into religious fanaticism, I think that's the same kind of idea we're talking about with psychic quicksand, because people get overwhelmed and then sink into religious fanatic, same thing. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, except a different
you know,
a different classification.
I get you can apply the metaphor to anything.
Of course.
But,
I mean,
because,
but they're more interrelated than, say, you know, getting obsessed with food or something.
Well, some people get obsessed with psychic narcotics. They get into narcotics. They realize it's no good for them. You can have psychic people who go to the doctor all the time. The doctors let them down. They don't have faith in doctors anymore. Psychic quicksand, too, is that as soon as it doesn't work, as soon as the things that aren't happening that should be happening don't happen, then someone feels engulfed in the idea that it's just suffocating to be going to psychics and mystics and doing all this stuff because it really doesn't pay off.
If those that are stuck in psychic quicksand might attribute the failure to symptoms that are really not to do with a heightened awareness that they're associating it with. So, you know, if someone says, well, you know, this is happening, they'd say, well, you're evolving, you're ascending, you're transcending. That's why you're, not sleeping or, having aches and pains in your bodies, or you're having mental
attributing everything we do to some kind of psychic phenomena, the moon, the axis of the planet, you're going through an ascension, to assume that everything is accountable to some kind of psychic energy or phenomena is, again, the notion
right.
of psychic quicksand,
so,
that involves everything.
Specifically, I think I was reading that fibromyalgia was being attributed to, well, you know, if you have fibromyalgia, you are ascending. You are ascending. And these are symptoms that one that is ascending will have. Now, I don't have any doubt that people with fibromyalgia are on the way to transcending, but fibromyalgia in itself does not guarantee transcendence. And it certainly is not a symptom of transcendence. It's an illness.
It's
an illness.
It's an illness.
Period. It's not a sign of.
No, not according to our book. It is not. I mean, ascending psychic quicksand you apply the term ascending to the concept of psychic quicksand, you may think that everything that you're doing is in accordance to ascendance, that it's all a sign, that these are all indications, and that can be very misleading. If you're going to apply ascendance to spirituality, ascendance is the development of spirit and soul. Not what's going on in your body. Your body
right.
has nothing to do with ascending. In fact, ascendance has to do with the enrichment of the soul, connection to the universe and God, and the idea that you have reached a spiritual awareness has enlightened the mind to such an extent that the body plays little part.
Right. In fact, I mean, someone on a very high vibrational level is going to be less mired down by physical symptoms in the body, even if they exist.
And less obsessed with it. Ascending, you're not obsessed with the body. You're not constantly thinking, oh, my arm, oh, I have a headache, oh, I got a migraine.
I'm getting tingling in my leg.
Oh, my elbow hurts now. I'm ascending. That has nothing. That's the most ridiculous thing of all. Ascending, if a person who's in the process of ascending has very little, really kind of little concern about the body. They're not obsessed with it. They're not looking at every corner of and their limbs and their brain and their headaches. And they're not looking at that stuff in terms of the idea of ascendance. They're connecting and their dialogue is entertained or engulfed with the idea that one's connection to God, the principles of the soul.
So therefore, not only will the body be of less concern, but the mind is going to be much more stable. The psyche is not going to be up and down and going through 50 mood swings a day and expressing them. There's going to be stability and balance.
Yeah.
Not, it's not about ups and downs and, you know, manic highs and depressed lows.
No. Psychic quicksand. Looking at psychic quicksand, a very, very well attuned mentor, psychic, seer, mystic, they have a consistency in their body where you hear very few complaints coming from them.
Very few complaints, and it's very, you know, in terms of their mentorship or dispensing of psychic information, there's very little about that person's self or ego.
Even that person doesn't shine through. They're usually on a very high philosophical vein. Their discussions are geared towards the attitude of spirit and philosophy and life and how to really transcend the aspects of the earth.
There can be examples, personal experiences, yes, interspersed in that dialogue with someone they're counseling, but it's only for the purpose of assisting that person on a higher level. It's not to make the ego shine, as you were saying.
There are, you know, that's what happens with psychic quicksand. The ego engulfs the spirit. And suddenly when you're listening to the person speak in terms of the idea of psychic quicksand, you're hearing the ego talking. You're hearing just a personal self, centralized self that is really concerned about what they are doing, what's happening with them.
What experience they had in the past that have somehow impacted them. Big deal. We've all had experiences in the past. And if you're in the position of helping other people in a high spiritual manner, of course you're going to go through trials and tribulations to be able to better assist those people with their problems.
Yeah.
People that are in the position of helping people and they've been appointed by spirit to do so are going to go through a lot of crap. But that doesn't mean that has to be, you have to burden your clients with that kind of, you know.
No, it doesn't.
It's for the purpose of enriching your own mind to help those people.
Yeah, I mean, the weariness of the body, the weariness of life, struggle, and strife, and all that, I think is part of the conditions of the world. Someone who is spiritual accepts that. That's just the conditions of life. One can be very spiritual and fight for social justice and human rights. This is all part of the spirituality of socialism or a social conscious person. I don't mean socialism per se. A person who is a socially conscious human being can defend the rights of others. It doesn't matter who you're defending. If you're defending a human being, you're in the process of defending the spirit and soul of a human being, not just the body. So I think that there's got to be enough to get out of the psychic quicksand syndrome. There has to be more of an uplifting of spiritual dialogue, of the dialogue of the soul and the journeys that we go on. And why are we down here? Are we down here to experience our aches and pains? Or are we down here to experience that we can't get a job or a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Oh, we're down here to discover the true meaning of existence and how we can get back to a higher plane so that we can abandon the earth entirely. And, you know, aside from its pleasures and its beauties, that we can abandon the earth and live totally in an astral realm. The astral realm does not include the physical body. There's no physical body in the astral realm. So to dwell on the
physical,
aspects of the
physical
body
is completely backwards.
Is to say you're celebrating the physical realm.
So, you know, a lot of I've noticed a lot of people complaining about, you know, symptoms of this or that and saying, you know, I'm having problems in my physical walk in life, and people that are quote unquote spiritual advisors will say, oh, well, you know, meditate, take a bath, so on and so forth. And it's like, the answer they're giving is a physical remedy for a physical problem where, you know, if we're being spiritual human beings, the remedy should be, spiritual. You're supposed to apply the seventh chakra to the physical body, not the first, second, or third chakra to the physicality. I mean, yes, things you can, those things all have their place, meditating and taking a bath and self-care. But if you're in a situation that you're facing that's very challenging and difficult, it's better to go to spirit rather than to body.
I think a lot of our time spent on this planet, we don't give enough content to the true intellect and the true mind. And we abandon the idea that we can have a high level of pleasure by experiencing the depths of the mind in terms of probing into the expansiveness of the spirit. And you dialogue there. You start reading, you start thinking about what is true intellectual spiritual dialogue. What did the great philosophers think? What is the meaning of life? It's not, you know, whether the moon is at a certain angle in the sky and now your joints hurt and boy, we're ascending. That's not the meaning of life. The meaning of life is, sure, the wonders of the cosmos and the ultimate design of the universe is amazing, both in terms of mythology and factual information. But the true depth and core of existence is to get to the deepest meanings of what life is all about. And that's not about, you know, sage taking a bath.
Right.
These are just rituals. They're all rituals. They're physical coverings. They're fine. But you have to acknowledge that they aren't the flesh. The clothes aren't the flesh. And we tend to think in our society that how we wear our awareness as physicalities is the essence of life, when it really isn't. So yes, I guess it takes a certain step towards the intellect, but it's the intellect also of the psyche.
Right.
And the psyche can have an intellectual content in it. You don't have to be a total misfit of a, you know, like, well, I believe, you know, the UFOs and there's angels all around, there's elves in my backyard. You can, fine. But there's nothing wrong with applying intellect to the idea of psychic phenomena.
Well, it has to be applied or you're going to end up being kind of off base, I think, about a lot of things.
You can be. I mean, I've spent over 45 years studying chakras and there's no, and numerology and the energies of the philosophy of religions. And our concept of who we are in placement of God and angels, that there's so much information out there that even in my term on Earth, I've just scratched the surface. And I've spent every day in deep study about the aspects of the spirit and the soul and energies and religions and things like that. You know, if I get an ache or a pain, I don't suddenly think I'm ascending. I take an aspirin and I move on with the day. But the idea is that what comes first, the body or the soul? If your dialogue is about the body, then you're basically physical. You're a physical human being. Now, some people may tend to disagree with us because our language is not, you know, it can be maybe polished, but you have to think that this is a temporary journey.
Right. The soul comes before the body. I mean, the body, you know, the soul is eternal. The body is impermanent.
Well, our bodies, if we're lucky, we're 80, 83, 85 years old, if we get up there, and then it's done. The body's done. And in the process of that, the body's corrupting. The body's breaking down.
Entropy.
It has certain peaks where you get strong. You're in your 20s, 30s. It starts to wane a little bit at 40, 50, 60. Yeah. And the body starts to deteriorate. Well, what do you do now about the soul? Is that deteriorating? Or have you nurtured it? Have you thought about it? Have you given it the kind of content that it needs in terms of the energy of the soul? The soul is not going to be concerned about the body. There's a responsibility that the soul has to the body. We go to the doctor and we take care of ourselves. But the soul is not supposed to be the thing that corrupts. The body corrupts. So if we talk about the content of the soul, then we have to conceptualize what does that consist of.
Right. And if we're misrepresenting spirit, then the soul does start to corrupt, unfortunately.
Exactly. So the question we have to ask ourselves in terms of psychic quicksand is that even in the idea of those who are seeking psychic advice, it isn't to say that the questions of our lives aren't important. You know, do you see a relationship coming? Do you see that job coming? Those things are important. And that's, I think, part of the role of a psychic, to help divine or see what's coming up for somebody, or to help explain why they're going through something.
Right. And obviously that, you know, as we're going through life, the idea is to fulfill all the chakras. And sometimes, you know, it's accomplishing your goals on the physical plane is a part of that completion of the chakras. So getting a relationship, they're all integral, getting a job, parts of
it's part
reaching
of
transcendence, ultimately.
We take all these steps because we're always rushing for something we want, or we're running away from something we don't want. And we very, you know, it's like that cliche, stop and smell the flowers. The idea that we don't stop enough to contemplate and to ponder, you know, how do you do that? You paint a picture, you write a poem, you have a deep discussion in a group, you go into you read a book, and you start to think of the eternal world and how vast that is, and really what our connection is. I think most human beings are alienated from themselves. Their bodies and their souls are not in communion. And it seems like the body wants to be in charge. The body will be in charge. What are we going to do today? What are we going to eat? What am I going to buy? What am I going to see? Who am I going to be with? The body's totally in charge. Now, that isn't to say that those who are listening, you know, can say, hey, I can do that and still be spiritual. Good for you. That's balance. That's good. We're not addressing people who have the ability to be balanced. What we're trying to show in our discussion is that is the quicksand of physicality. And that can include the quicksand of psychic energy as well. So, I mean, even in your experience, in terms of looking at psychic energy, what do you find is so far, Kristen, what do you find is the one of the most important aspects of that journey? Is it the third eye and the experience of seeing things? But what is that leading to? I mean, these are questions I'm asking you on the spot. But
you are.
but if we're having a deep philosophical conversation and you're an intelligent human being, so I am with you, what is your idea? I mean, I haven't asked you this. What is your idea about the depth of psychic discovery?
Well, I would say that the opening of the third eye is the gateway to, you know, it's not about the, you know, the show of seeing things. I mean, it can be very exciting, yes, to open the third eye and see things that are unseen to the naked eye. But that's not the ultimate. That's not the ultimate peak of getting into psychic energy. I think it's the development of the spirit and how, what that leads to in terms of opening the third eye, a higher level of consciousness and connection to higher entities. That's more important than, you know, well, you know, I can see.
So when we talk
something
about,
that someone else can't.
When we use that metaphor, a higher level of consciousness, at this point in your journey, what is a higher level of consciousness?
Well, higher level of consciousness for me, or for anyone, I think, how do I say this? You know, the physical, my physical journey obviously is important, but the importance my physical journey had maybe prior to meeting you versus where I am now is much, it's much more diminished. So there's a higher level of faith, commitment to spiritual principles. And I would say that, I mean, I would.
Yeah. I think that those are important. Parts of, I don't think anyone who stands in the element of spirit would minimize the idea of faith and the etherical energies of existence, and that we work hard to develop this almost cosmic language with the world outside of our world. You know, when we say, let us pray, are we really just saying words? So we're just going inside and saying words because we're conditioned. That's what you need to do. So when we get into the physics of prayer, we're really, what we're saying is we're going inside in order to expand our consciousness. We're actually going, you know, let us pray. Most people close their eyes, they fold their hands, and they have a dialogue. They pray for something. But what are you really doing when you're doing that? Is there something in the soul, in the eternal mind, that has a link to something outside of the world? And that's the real question. So to me, what I've always endeavored upon was the idea that inside of our brain is an answer. There's something there. It's not outside of ourselves. We can wonder about the universe and be in awe of it. But and that can help us and coast us along. But the idea of the consciousness of existence is within ourselves, within our brain.
Right. And I think that, you know, being in a higher consciousness, there's less attachment to things that are physical. So it's, I mean, frankly, I think it's a much healthier place to be than...
Well, think about it. When you pray, you close your eyes, you close off the world.
Right.
You don't want to see the world. It's a distraction.
But you know, I mean, yeah, and you meditate and close your eyes, but it's not, I mean, you know, going beyond the higher self, it's a connection to things beyond the self that are higher. You know, it's not about going within and we're all our own little gods.
Right.
Which is,
well, no,
if you carefully listen to people that talk about spirituality, that's the message. If you really listen to what's being said, there's little mention of spirit.
You know, I think no one would disagree with the fact that human beings dream. And the most, the highest point of the physicality of dreams in terms of a definition, except you could visualize, you could have creative, I'm not talking about creatively visualizing things, but when you go to bed at night and you close your eyes and you have a vivid dream and your eyes are closed and your consciousness, your immediate consciousness is somewhat cut off, you're not aware of your environment anymore, there's a whole theater in there. There's a whole energy. What is that all about? What part of the brain produces such vivid imagery and puts it into almost plot development, however absurd it may be at the moment, that designates and maybe almost connotates, thank you, the idea that that inside of our mind is a vision.
Yeah.
It's not a creative visualization. You're not creatively imagining something. The brain is actually allowing you to see pictures, and you're not even in charge of it anymore. What is that part of the brain that's doing that? And the farther we go, you know, Freud, the interpretation of dreams, I'm not talking about interpreting dreams. I'm talking about what manufactures the idea of a dream. What manufactures the idea of a vision, and what manufactures the idea of a prophecy that comes true? Where does that come from? Science can't tell you.
Right.
There's nothing scientifically based upon which we can reach the origin of a prophecy. And yet prophecy is one of the biggest words you'll find in any mystical book, including the Bible. So, and prophecy is something that we as psychics indulge in. We're supposed to be mystics, psychics, seeing. We're supposed to understand what the content is of that specialized energy, that mysterious part, the pituitary gland. That
pineal
is,
gland.
I'm sorry, it's the pineal gland.
We got to get the right gland.
Pity the pituitary. The pineal gland that is supposed to be so mysterious. And the symbol of the pineal gland is embellished, and it's in so many different designs of the universe in art. So when we look at that symbol and we see it, there's something very mysterious. That's why I, you know, vastly interested in archaeology and the symbolism of mankind, and even Carl Jung and man's and the symbols and the archetypes and everything. All of this comes from this mystical place inside of our mind that has locked within it the secrets of the universe and existence itself. So I think in terms of your higher knowledge, what were you going to say?
Well, no, go ahead with what you're going to say.
I think in terms of higher knowledge, yes, it's that inward journey, but what is it you're really looking
right,
for
exactly,
when you go there?
Exactly. You have to seek without rather than only within. The other thing I was going to say about psychic quicksand is, you know, another pitfall, I think, for people is manifestation. And of course, you know, we all want to live our best lives on earth, but I think that can be very distracting from true spirituality. You know, I'm a very driven person. I'm creatively driven. Obviously, you know that, but there's a more important journey, you know, in terms of spirit than necessarily a creative journey on the planet. So you have to, and people, you know, may put importance on a physical journey or the acquisition of things or whatever it may be. But really, in terms of, you know, manifesting and getting everything you want in life, that can really take you away from spirit. So, you know, you've got to put importance on.
Yeah. We're both very creative people. And you know, and it isn't to belittle or to minimize creativity. Creativity is part of it's part of the enjoyment of life, and it's creative. It's wonderful.
And it's not to say that we're not creative, that we're not trying to be creative people on the earth either. But the foremost focus is the spirit in terms of our journey. So, you know, of course,
sure,
we put our creativity aside.
Sure. And the closer we get to that edge, where the closer every day we get closer and closer to that edge where our physical breath is going to expire. We will no longer be breathing. Our hearts won't be beating. We won't be waking up. We won't be taking steps from here to there. We won't be wondering about who we're going to get or what we're going to want. Suddenly, we fall into that great abyss, that big sleep. And that's what, at least we as a couple, that's what we are seeking, we're looking at. There's a certain journey you take while you're there. You know, you make a living, you do things, and you devote your life to that. But the ultimate question is not going to be how much money you have in the bank, how much you've done. The ultimate question is, are you
right,
ready
how
for
many
that big
trips
liftoff?
You've gone on? How I mean, people live very rich lives in terms of their activities and their involvement.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily.
And we can envy them for the immediate enjoyment that they're experiencing, for the immediate enjoyment. It isn't to say that somebody who likes to travel and has a gusto for life can't be a spiritual person.
No.
But I think that when we get to the edge of physical existence, you have to ask yourself, what is the content? How much volume have I put into my journey beyond the planet?
Right, and how does fulfilling one's immediate desires interfere with that spiritual journey? So you have to be very careful in what you want, I think, or you can end up in a worse place than you were when you came on the planet in the beginning.
I think that's too a part of the psychic quicksand. Is that we tend to go into our psyche, and then we mistake what is really the content of the psyche. We tend to think it's an answer to our immediate physical existence.
Right, and just because you start to get everything you want in life because you're doing these manifestation exercises does not mean you're spiritual. It doesn't mean that at all.
No,
and
you may be using tools, but that doesn't make you a craftsperson. In terms of the idea of what the real content and nature of things are. So our recommendation is that people read, that they look deeply into these things, that they sometimes get beyond their immediate concerns, that they also get beyond the wonderment of what psychics say, you fell when you were 8 years old. Oh, you have in your home, you have a picture of somebody who's trying to talk to you from the other side. All of these are very nice attractions, but they aren't the essence. It isn't, oh, how amazing, he read my mind, how amazing he knew this person, how amazing he predicted the future.
It's not
all
novelty.
That is still,
you have to get beyond the novelty of psychic data.
It's still quicksand.
I mean, you can be excited about it, of course, but there's, you know, to be a more advanced person, you've got to move
beyond that.
It is exciting,
and it's mysterious. But I know as I get older, it's not so much, and I've been doing this a long time, and I've had a lot of hits. It's not so much that...
Well, you've taken out hits on people.
Yeah, I've had a lot of hits.
Psychic hits is what we're talking about.
Psychic hits. You know, things that were really amazing.
Amazing,
even
yeah.
I was, like, flabbergasted. But, you know, at the...
There's that ego again.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But at the end of the line here, that's not going to save me. That's not what it's really about. They're nice. It's nice to be a service, and it's nice to feel that you've got a certain talent. But that's not going to lift me out of this planet.
Yeah, because you can be a very psychic person and not be spiritual at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, we always invite our questions and people, and we're always happy to answer them. But we also, when we have this opportunity to speak, we like to really get to the core and at least scratch the surface.
To get to the core and scratch the surface. Sounds like a contradiction in terms.
At least scratch
the surface.
Towards the core. Which we never will get to. Of what is the purpose of life and how we're supposed to be leading it. Without getting mixed up into the quicksand of what psychic phenomena pretends to be.
Okay, so we are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye. I can't believe we...